One of the nation's largest private foundations is now a charity. The Pew Charitable Trusts control $4 billion in assets. The change in status last month will save Pew millions of dollars in taxes, and it will have fewer restrictions on how it can spend its money. From member station WHYY in Philadelphia, Joel Rose reports.
A violinist in colonial costume is one of half a dozen historical reenactors who dot the long marble hallway at the Independence Visitor Center in downtown Philadelphia. Nearby, actor Ross Dillman impersonates an 18th century sailor for the benefit of the Amedick family of Hampton Roads, Virginia.
Can you tell who is signed to the bottom of that?
John Hancock.
Hancock, indeed.
The Pew Charitable Trusts helped raise $38 million to build the Independence Visitor Center, which opened in late 2001. More than 1.5 million tourists passed through the center last year. The project is part of a funding initiative by Pew to promote cultural tourism in its home base of Philadelphia. To that end, Pew also helped raise $31 million for the new Kimmel Center for the Performing Arts. Pew listed both of those efforts in an application filed with the IRS in late 2002, to change its status from private foundation to public charity. Pew cited them as examples of how it's already working to pool state and private dollars for worthy causes, efforts it will continue and be able to oversee more closely as a public charity. Pew also cited another potential tourist draw, a new building for the Barnes Foundation in downtown Philadelphia. The struggling school and gallery in the suburbs is asking a court for permission to move its multi-billion-dollar art collection. Pew CEO Rebecca Reimel says the new charity could not only raise money for the move, but administer those funds at no cost to the project.
The Barnes was one example of what we could do as a public charity that we can't do as a private foundation.
But the proposed Barnes project raises a red flag for some critics. John Anderson, author of the book Art Held Hostage, wrote in a recent op-ed piece for the Wall Street Journal that Pew's IRS application and the proposal to move the Barnes Foundation are on, quote, curiously parallel tracks, unquote. Anderson says Pew is using the Barnes to help facilitate a change in status that will save it millions of dollars in taxes.
For Pew, though not for Barnes, it's win-win. The Barnes comes out of it loser, 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 because it's giving up Dr. Barnes' great legacy, this ideal setting for the contemplation of the art.
The move from the wooded campus and gallery created by Albert Barnes in the 1920s as a setting for his art collection requires approval from a Pennsylvania judge. A ruling on the case is expected soon. Rebecca Reimel insists the idea for the move came from the Barnes, not from Pew. And she says even without the money Pew proposes to raise for the Barnes project, which would count as part of its public support requirement under IRS rules, Pew would still qualify as a public charity.
Our application to become a public charity had absolutely nothing to do with the Barnes. That application was filed several years ago. If, unfortunately, the petition does not receive favorable ruling, that will not affect our public charity status.
If the proposed move is rejected by the judge, however, Pew will lose what it says could be $80 million in contributions. The Pew Charitable Trusts use the money they raise to support a variety of institutions in the fields of culture, environmental policy, and public information, including National Public Radio and WHYY. The trusts were created between 1948 and 1979 by the children of Joseph Pew, who founded the Sun Oil Company. Because the seven trusts are technically independent, Pew is able to claim them as separate sources of income, an essential IRS requirement to be considered a public charity. The Revenue Service bought the argument, but some critics do not.
You have to be fairly cynical to say this is a publicly supported organization.
Pablo Eisenberg is a senior fellow at the Georgetown Public Policy Institute in Washington, D.C. He says the trusts are still largely controlled by the Pew family, and he's anxious about what the trusts plan to do with their change in status.
Pew does have a reputation among lots of nonprofits as being a very controlling foundation. In some cases, particularly in the environmental field, for having jerked nonprofits around and forced them to their point of view.
In the early 1990s, the group Forest Guardians in New Mexico was one of several grassroots groups working to protect southwestern wilderness. Sam Hitt, founder and former executive director of Forest Guardians, says when Pew's environmental wing took up the issue in the mid-90s, Pew's higher profile ended up working against his group's goals.
It feels like a Death Star that comes into the universe. They have such enormous gravitational field that, you know, whatever you're doing there on that lonely planet is irrelevant.
On the contrary, says Pew CEO Rebecca Reimel, Pew does try to build broad coalitions in order to achieve its policy goals, though she notes not everyone will agree with any particular policy. As a public charity, Reimel says Pew may well decide to create new subsidiaries to carry out its vision. but she says it's not a matter of taking work away from existing nonprofits, just a question of efficiency.
This is not a grander motive or mission or mandate. We really want to see that every nickel we have to deploy, and help other donors as well, deploy every nickel to reach the end user and to accomplish the end game.
In a tight economy, that's become increasingly important to funders, says Peter Goldberg, CEO of the Alliance for Children and Families, a nonprofit based in Milwaukee. Goldberg thinks private foundations around the country will be watching Pew's example very closely.
It's a myth to think that nonprofits who receive funding from a variety of sources have total freedom and flexibility. The whole system of funding in this country has become very accountability-driven.
Goldberg says it's too soon to say whether the change will be good for Pew's grantees or not. But Georgetown University's Pablo Eisenberg thinks they have good reason to be worried. He says to maintain its new status as a public charity, Pew is now obliged to look for even more sources of funding, which means it could end up competing with smaller charitable organizations for a limited pool of dollars.
They have to raise money because they have to maintain their public support quotient. To the extent that they raise money, it will take away from other noteworthy causes in the community, which in fact may or may not be a priority for the Pew.
That's not what Pew has in mind, though, says CEO Rebecca Reimel.
We don't intend to get out and organize massive fundraising campaigns, compete with our grantees out there. That's really not serving the purpose for which we've been stewarded with these resources.
The Pew Charitable Trusts must report back to the IRS in 5 years. The service will then decide whether to make the change in status permanent. For NPR News, I'm Joel Rose in Philadelphia.